Okay, so it's Chodesh Elul. Actually, both of our Sfaradim are not here, so that's good. For Sfaradim, what do they do different in Chodesh Elul than the rest of the year? Slichos. That's basically the official Sfaradi Chodesh Elul practice that they say Slichos. Ashkenazim do not say Slichos during all of Chodesh Elul. Ashkenazim start Slichos, this weird Shita. When do we start Slichos? The Sunday before Rosh Hashanah, providing that Rosh Hashanah is going to be after Tuesday, right? But if not, so then Ashkenazim begins Slichos. We should take this. This is today's halacha share. If not, so then Ashkenazim begins. Ashkenazim always begins Slichos on a Sunday. That's basically Ashkenazi practice. So for Ashkenazim, what is the relevance of Chodesh Elul? Which minhagim do we have during Chodesh Elul that are different than the rest of the year? Huh? So one minig is that we say Ludovin after davening. If we have a chance, I'll distribute the sheet regarding saying of Ludovin. We could analyze that minhag. But there's another minhag that's different during Chodesh Elul. Tkiyas Shofar. So, is it a minhag or halacha? So it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch and Siman Tavkuf Pei Aleph that the Ramah says that the minhag is. Now that sort of begs the question, is it minhag or halacha? It's an institutionalized minhag, no? It's a minhag that we should keep. Some minhagim are very local and don't make it to Shulchan Aruch, like you could have a family practice. Oh, Sam Larson, you are here. Okay. Some minhagim are very localized. But then there are other minhagim that are like more for all of Klal Yisrael. Tkiyas Shofar during Elul falls into that category. Yesh Lach Kardo. We should ask, what is the pshat in Tkiyas Shofar of Elul? Is Tkiyas Shofar of Elul an extension or a creation? Right? There's a book called Lomdus, actually. So this is one of the famous, he gives you like 100 different chakiros, or terminology for chakiros. But Yesh Lakar is, Tkiyas Shofar during Elul is an extension. In other words, is it the same as Tkiyas Shofar during Rosh Hashanah, but we extend the time, we do it for longer? Or do I say, no, it's not an extension, but it's really a creation, it's a new bird. It's totally different than the Tkiyas Shofar of Rosh Hashanah. It's a new type of thing. Right? Fair question? Right? Sometimes, and this is a Yisod of Salvechik used to bring, sometimes we could also try to say Lum Disim Minhagim. Now, hopefully, as we understand the source of this minhag and we understand some of the parameters, we'll have a better understanding of the Tkiyas Shofar during Elul, and we'll create a few halachic outcomes that are different. In other words, we could ask, is Tkiyas Shofar Rosh Hashanah if it's an extension? So that means it's totally based on Rosh Hashanah. If it's a creation, I could say that it's based on Elul itself. It's not a din in Rosh Hashanah, but the yomim of Elul, the days of Elul, somehow are mechayev a Tkiyas Shofar. That is the other possibility. So let's begin by learning the sources. The earliest minhagim all have an earliest source, right? What's the earliest source of the minhag of Tkiyas Shofar during Elul? So we have it over here. The Pirkei d'Rabbi Eliezer. Anyone know what the Pirkei d'Rabbi Eliezer is? Okay. Pirkei d'Rabbi Eliezer is an interesting sefer. It's called a medrash. It's not really a medrash. Midrashim are supposed to be from the tekuf of the Tanoim. Tanoim stopped, what, around the 1st or 2nd century, correct? The Pirkei d'Rabbi Eliezer is from the 8th century. It is attributed to the Tana of Eliezer de Horkinus. Eliezer Horkinus is one of the Tanaim that's found in Maseches Avos. But Pirkei d'Rabbi Eliezer was not known until the 8th century. The 8th century, we would say, is the period of the Gaonim, no? Correct? 8th century means the year 700 until the year 800. That's 8th century. So Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer is a medrash, but it's a different type of medrash. What do we know about midrashim in general? How do midrashim work? What does a medrash do? It takes a pasuk and elaborates on it, no? Usually it takes a pasuk and says, oh, this pasuk says this word, but a pasuk somewhere else that says that word, and then it goes to town, and it gives a mashal about a king, and we're off to the races, right? That's the way midrashim work, correct? Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer is a historic medrash. That means it doesn't take psukim in the Torah, but it takes episodes. So, for example, certain things that everybody was trained about in grade school, but doesn't appear in Chumash. For example, Avram Avinu being thrown into the Kivshan Sho'esh as a young fellow, that Nimrod threw him in, right? So Rashi quotes it by Hebi Me Amrafel, Amar Vihipil, that he threw Avram into the Kivshan Sho'esh, etc. Is that found in Chumash anywhere? At some point you become very surprised. Like you read the Parshas HaShavua, you say, hey, where does it say that Avram Avinu was thrown into the furnace? And the answer is, it doesn't. Right? It doesn't say it anywhere. That is found in Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. Because Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer gives history, so it tells us, oh, you should know there's a guy named Avram Avinu. It tells us Avram Avinu was 3 years old when he discovered God. It's really interesting. I actually used to learn Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer with my son, Shabbos morning, before davening, because my son was interested in, like, elaborating on these types of midrashim, just like hearing the stories. It's a really cool type of thing. That's Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer has probably 5 chapters about, what's it called, Migdal Bavel? You know, like at the beginning, at the end of Parshas Noach, right? Vayikar Safa Achas, it's like 9 psukim in the Torah. Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer has chapters and chapters telling stories about this guy breaking that guy's head and like gives them names to the people. It's really exciting stuff, no? That's Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. Fine. So, Zok Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, in the context of Moshe Rabbeinu being on the mountain. So let's learn it together. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha Omer. You see it? Arba'im yom asa Moshe bahar. Kore bedas mikra b'yom. Vishona bedas mikra b'yom. Moshe Rabbeinu is on the mountain for 40 days and he's learning Chumash during the day and Vishona bedas mikra b'layla and he is learning Mishnah at night. Kore bedas mikra bayom. No, kore means he's learning the pesukim. Shona means he is elaborating, like Mishnah at night. Now, this is a Kabbalistic idea that the Mekubalim are very worried that we're not supposed to learn. We're not supposed to learn Chumash at night. No, Alpi Kabbalah, if you learn Chumash at night, like terrible things happen to you. You're mahapich betzinoros. You're taking the pipes that bring the shefa, that bring the benefit to the world. You're like turning those pipes over. Don't do that. It's like really bad. We do it. And the Mishnah Berurah says we don't really pass in that way, no? But the... Well, some say it's only Tehillim. The problem is the Gemara at the beginning of Brachos discusses how David HaMelech would spend his time. There are many kashes. If you look in Siman Reish Lamed Ches in Orech Chaim, in the Ba'er Hetev, he quotes the minhag, the practice of Mekubalim, not to learn Tanakh at night. And then the Mishnah Berurah over there in the Shar HaTzion, he has an elaborate disagreement. He says that we don't hold that way. I have to admit, I'm not so orthodox. I learn Chumash at night. Right? This is one of my big sins. Fine. Okay? So now, Moshe Rabbeinu learns Chumash at daytime, Vishoyin Abedas Mikra Balayla, and at night he learns Shona b'das mikra. Apparently, that's more like medrash. Ula achar ba'im yom. After 40 days, lakach es haluchos v'yared al hamachane. Moshe takes the luchos and he goes to the camp. Right? Everyone have it? Right? We know this. What day is that? B'shivas or b'tamuz? V'shiber es haluchos. Right? That's in the Mishnah. The Mishnah in Tamuz says that one of the bad things that happened on the 17th of Tamuz is that he broke the luchos. V'horag es chotei Yisrael, and he killed them sinners. V'asa arba'im yom b'machane. And then they did 40 days, until they burned the egel and they ground it up like dirt. And then he spent 40 days until he got rid of all the Avodah Zarah. By the way, Rashi and Chumash
quotes this whole scenario. So in Rosh Chodesh Elul, God tells Moshe, go up to the mountain. Ve'eviru shofar b'machaneh, and they blow shofar. Sharei Moshe ola lahar, that Moshe is going up to the mountain. Shelo yitu od achar avodah zarah. Va'kadosh baruch hu nis'ala ba'osel ha'shofar. God is elevated. So Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer is saying that Moshe Rabbeinu comes down in Yud-Zayin Tammuz and he is Shiver Ruchos. Then there are 40 days getting rid of the Avodah Zarah. Then Moshe goes back up. Right? On Rosh Chodesh Elul, he goes back up. And when Moshe goes back up, so there is Ha'evir Shofar B'machaneh, they blow a shofar on Rosh Chodesh Elul that he goes back up. And because the reason why the Luchos were destroyed was because of Avodah Zarah the first time, called the Chet HaEgel, so therefore through that second Tekiyah, through that shofar, Moshe goes up, God is warning the Jewish people, don't serve Avodah Zarah, right Nadav? Avodah Zarah is bad, right? If there's one thing that you learned this year, okay? Avodah Zarah is bad. Good. Avodah Zarah is bad. So, Zok the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, V'chein Hiskinu Chachamim, Sheyiyu Tokim B'Shofar, B'Rosh Chodesh. What? What does it say? Tishrei. Huh? The rabbis institute that we should blow Shofar in Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. What's the problem with that sentence? B'chol Shana B'Shana every year. What's the problem with that sentence? Should be Elul. That's one problem because we've been talking about Rosh Chodesh Elul. More fundamentally, what day is Rosh Chodesh Tishrei? Rosh Chodesh Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah. No, so I don't need the rabbis to tell me to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Right? Blowing shofar on Rosh Hashanah is a biblical command. Agreed. So if you look in the Sefer HaManhig, the Sefer HaManhig is written by Reb Avram, the Rabban Hayarchi. Right, the Ravon Hayarchi means he lived in the town of Lunil. The Ravon Hayarchi, yeah.
I just don't see the record they were talking about.
So the first source is that Moshe goes up to the mount. You don't see it on this sheet? It says Tekiya Shofar and Elul.
Did you email that to us?
There's a different one that I emailed to you that we'll get to maybe later. This I just printed out. It says Tekiya Shofar and Elul. Yeah. So the first source says that we are blowing shofar. The earliest source of blowing shofar is because Moshe Rabbeinu ascends the mountain on Rosh Chodesh Elul, right? And therefore, right, because Moshe ascends the mountain on Rosh Chodesh Elul, and they blow shofar when he ascends the mountain to tell me not to serve Avodah Zarah, therefore we blow shofar on Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. So, obviously, like, it doesn't smell right. So, the Sefer HaManhig, Sefer HaManhig basically gives us the different minhagim of Provence versus Tsarfas. For whatever it's worth, Provence is now the French Riviera, no? If you want to go to nice beaches, I do not recommend this as a rabbi, but in Provence, right, there are many Rishonim from Provence. The Bahamur is from Provence, the Rivet is from Provence, no? Provence is a slightly different culture than France. Sefer HaManhig tells us differences in minhagim between France, which is the northern of France, and southern France, which is Provence, which is the French Riviera. So zok the Sefer HaManhig, minhag tzarfas lahaskam Rosh Chodesh Elul ve'eilach matkoya b'chol yom. Ravon is around the 12th century. Right, that the minhagim tzarfas that they blow shofar Rosh Chodesh Elul every day. V'yeshli smach l'davar b'pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. Rosh Chodesh Elul amar kach b'chol Moshe alei elai ha'hora. V'yivir shofar b'chol ha'machan. Asherei Moshe olo lahar. V'al yitu od Yisrael achar avodah zarah. V'akadosh baruch hu nis'al also shofar. God is elevated with that shofar. Shenema elo olo elokim b'sru'ah Hashem b'kol shofar. L'chein hiskinu l'skar b'rosh Chodesh Elul b'chol shana v'shana. So when's the minute to blow shofar according to the Ravon? On Rosh Chodesh Elul. Now, isn't that what makes sense? That's what should be the minhag. The minhag should be that I blow shofar on the day that they blew shofar. Moshe goes up to the mountain. I blow shofar on Rosh Chodesh Elul. Right? That's what he says. V'hatzar fasim osim af misham ve'elach. Then they extended it. Now, gentlemen, if the pshat is that we are blowing shofar because Moshe went up to the mountain on Rosh Chodesh Elul, fundamentally, we should only blow on Rosh Chodesh Elul, correct?
The Tzarfasim extend it. That means, l'cha'ora, that this minhag, is it connected to Rosh Hashanah, or is it not connected to Rosh Hashanah? Does the blowing of shofar during Elul have anything to do with blowing shofar in Rosh Hashanah? Absolutely not. Correct, Akiva? It's totally different. Why am I blowing shofar? Blowing shofar. That, what should I think about when I blow shofar? Don't do avodah zarah. That's what I should think about. Right? The real practice was only to blow Rosh Chodesh Elul. And by the way, it should be whichever day of Rosh Chodesh Elul Moshe ascended the mountain. Whether it's the first day, the second day, that should be the day that we blow shofar. Yeah.
Could it be that we blow shofar up to like Yom Kippur, which is 40 days after Rosh Chodesh Elul, which is about the second Luchos?
Okay, so that's another possibility. If you look in the Sefer Rokeach, right, two sources from here. Sefer Rokeach says, Lemala katuv tokin b'shofar mirosh chodesh elol. Right? The Sefer Rokeach said earlier we wrote to blow shofar on Rosh Chodesh Elul. From Rosh Chodesh Elul onward, excuse me. Ki chen hiskinu shu tokin mem yom ad yom hakipurim. Hashim mem yom achronim sha'al moshe lamarom. Va'amil etko b'chol yom k'dei shal yitu odav odezara. Right, so that's what you're suggesting. In other words, that maybe they blow shofar all the way until Yom Kippur. Does anyone have this practice? Is there any community that they blow shofar between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? Do you know of that practice anywhere? In Sephardi communities, they do that? I don't think so, right? But one could argue that if it's based on Moshe Rabbeinu on, right, Moshe on mountain, if that's the source, so then maybe they should blow only Rosh Chodesh Elul, or maybe, right, which Shmuel suggests that they should blow every day until Yom Kippur, until it came down. Right? That there is a source of that in the Sefer Rokeach, but that's not our minhag.
Are those
part
of doing during
Sukkot? What?
When
they
do it during
Sukkot? No. Some Sephardic communities blow the end of Sukkot, other Sephardic communities don't.
But
is
it
40
days?
What? Maybe that shofar that they blow during Sukkot, then they say Sukkot all the way. So maybe that's like the Rokeach. And Nachanami, it could be. But one thing I see from this source, L'cha'ora, and this is the earlier source of the Kiyas Shofar, is that it has nothing to do with Rosh Hashanah. It's entirely a different minhag. Okay? So far, so good. The Tur quotes this minhag, fine, of Moshe going up to the mountain. But the Tur adds 2 points. See, the third source, where it says Tur. The Tur is the son of the Rush. The Tur is the first compendium on Halacha that is not based on the sequence of the Gemaras. No? The Rif wrote a Halacha, the Rambam, okay. The Rambam is also, but the Rambam had his own sequence. The Tur is the sequence that we generally use for Halacha. Okay, not for now. There's too much to do, so I don't want to explain who the Torah is. So Zuck the Torah, he quotes the same Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer that we have. Then, let's pick up from the Torah in the end of the second line. L'chein hetkinu chazal, shiutokim birosh chodesh elo b'chol shana v'shana, v'kola chodesh. That they should blow shofar on Rosh Chodesh Elo, and they should blow the entire month. Why? K'dei lahas here Yisrael, shiyasu teshuvah. That's already different, no? You see, the way we suggested, what we saw, was that they blow shofar on Rosh Chodesh Elul to tell me not to serve Avodah Zarah. But the Torah is saying that the shofar is in order to do tshuva, shenema im yitaka shofar ba'ir, u'kedei la'arbev ha-satan, and also in order to confuse our dear, our enemy, Satan. No? We want to confuse the satan. So in order to confuse the satan, we blow shofar during Elul. No? So satan's going to come. Apparently, Satan will be. Right? Satan knows that by blowing shofar, we are doing tshuva, and he knows that we are come closer to God. Satan doesn't want that, so Satan's going to prosecute us during the shofar of Elul, and then we get away with it. Haha! Right? I always was bothered by this. Now, Satan's got to be the stupidest creature ever, because every single year he's duped by the same tricks. No? It's not actually an amazing thing, but okay. Were you ever bothered by Nakasha, Ellie?
Aren't we also? Aren't we duped by histories all the time? The same one over and over again?
Right? Well, maybe. Well, I mean, we've been doing it for, let's say, 15, 20 years. Something's been added for a couple of thousand years. It still hasn't gotten better. When do they blow in Ashkenaz? What does it say? b'chol boker v'erev achar hatfilah. Okay, does anyone have this minhag? They blow morning and night. Has anyone ever seen that? So I'll tell you where you can see. If you go down to Bennett Avenue here in Washington Heights, there's a show called Breuers. By the Yekkes, they do everything different than the rest of the Jewish people. This is like a general theory that we have in life. So by the Yekkes, they blow shofar every day, boker and erev. What is erev? Mincha, they say. I wanted to translate the word erev that way. They blow shachris and mincha, they blow shofar. If you'll go to the Yekke land, they will blow at shachris. They blow 30 kolos. Tashrat, tashat, tashat. Right? We blow 10 kolos in the morning, no? We blow tekiah, shon, tro, tekiah. That's it, right? 4 kolos. They blow 3 sets of each. They blow a full 30 kolos. Chaim and then Avi.
Could you say
that
the
Sfarad Slichos
all the time
they want to
erev?
Like this, the Sfarad Slichos is it by erev, or it's Slichos is supposed to be Bashmoris HaBoker, technically. I was thinking of giving this year about when we should say Slichos or not. I thought maybe we'd have other opportunities to say it. Maybe it should be by erev. The only piyot that we say during Slichos that mentions nighttime is B'motzai Menucha. All other Slichos sound like they're said in the morning. No? Okay, but again, it could be that if they're saying the slichos at night, that's the kiyum of blowing shofar at night. To the best of my knowledge, the only community in the Jewish world that blows shofar in the evening is Breuers, where they blow shachris at mincha 30 kolos a time. Yeah.
Do the Yekkes say
L'David? The Yekkes do not say L'David
at all.
Ever. That's something that maybe we'll talk about if we have time, but I don't think we'll have time. Okay, so far the minig of tekiah shofar has nothing to do with Rosh Hashanah. L'cha'ora, the minig of tekiah shofar is about teshuvah or about natzering avodah zarah, etc. Zucked the Sefer Minhagim of Rabbi Isaac of Tirna. Okay, now you should know that there was a father of Ashkenazi Minhagim called the Maharil. No? And the Maharil had a bunch of Talmidim, the Maharivayal, etc. And like a lot of the Minhagim that Ashkenazi Jews do, start in the Maharil. And you're not going to find them in Gemaras anywhere. So the Rabbi Isaac of Tirna in his Minhagim, L'cha'ore, has a different Mahalach to this. Zucked with Isaac of Tirna. You see it? Minhag kashel etkayam erev chodesh elul ad zechor bris shu erev Rosh Hashanah. This sounds like what I do, no? That we blow shofar from Rosh Chodesh Elul until zechor bris, which is erev Rosh Hashanah. V'oz mafsikim milat koa, then we stop blowing. V'chozer v'toikim b'Rosh Hashanah. Zehu lamed yom, and we end up with 30 days of tekiyas. V'smach lazeh tiku b'chodesh shofar. Mashma chodesh shalem shehu lamed yom. The pasuk in Tehillim says tiku b'chodesh shofar. That's from Isaac of Tirna. Right, you know what that means? Blow shofar for a month. Tiku b'chodesh shofar. One second, I might have to take, if it's about all of that, you might have to take this call. Tiku b'chodesh shofar, so he says it means blow shofar for a month. Now, l'cha'ira, according to Rabbi Isaac of Tirna, if I'm supposed to blow shofar for a month, it's probably, and that month includes Rosh Hashanah, just I take one day off, so I end up with a total of 30 days, no? The taking of the day off, by the way, isn't to confuse the Satan. He's assuming that Satan is a little more of a sentient being than we were thinking he was a few minutes ago. He's a little smarter than we thought. Fine, so I take the day off, so I end up with 30 days because I'm supposed to blow shofar for a month. But l'cha'ora, it's the same tekiah shofar as on Rosh Hashanah. There's a din of tekiah shofar for a month. Rosh Hashanah is one day of that month. Yeah. So that's a discussion in the Mishnah Berurah. Our practice is not to. Our practice is that when the first day of Rosh Hashanah is Shabbos, we don't. It's a good shaila why our minhag developed. That's a whole other shiur that we could give. But it's a good ha'ara. Okay, so according to Isaac and Tirna, we blow shofar the entire month. Tiku b'chodesh shofar. And then he speaks about confusing the satan and a few other things. Very nice. Good. Lucha ora. Yeah, Jonah. There should be 1 month of Tekiyas Shofar. He's assuming that it doesn't have to be in the same month, apparently. Right. It's a little bit funny. Right? You would have thought at first glance, if I say there's a mitzvah to blow Shofar for a month, that we should blow right, every day in Tishrei. Again, minhagim sometimes develop in... We're trying the best we can to understand it. Okay. Fine. Now, Rabbosai. Gemara Rosh Hashanah Daf Lamed Daled Hitkin Rabavohu Demin Kisrin, that when we blow shofar, we blow all of the sounds. You blow Tashrat, Tashat, and Tarat. We're not sure if the sound of the shofar should be Yilula Yelel, a wailing sound. If you ever heard someone wailing, it's like very staccato. Like the that's wailing, or we're not sure if it should be like the groaning sound, right? We're not sure, or maybe it should be both, right? No one, by the way, the Gemara says wails and then groans. The Gemara says that the way people are, you see this. Like when I was with Balaam yesterday, like beforehand, like your father just passed away. You're with them, right? It's groaning and then wailing. People don't wail and then groan. That's just the way the world goes. So that's why we blow all three sounds. Rabbi Avraham of Kisrin says, you should blow Tashrat, Tashat, Tarat. That's what we blow on Rosh Hashanah. We blow all the sounds. Now, there was a big machlokes Rishonim that Tosfos points out over there in Rosh Hashanah about during Chazaras Hashat, so during the silent Shmona Esrei, which sounds do you blow? What's our practice? What do we blow, let's say, after Malchus?
All ten.
All ten. Tashrat, Tashat, Tashat, Tarat, right? And after Zichronos, all ten. Right? If you go to Breuers, where they do everything differently than the rest of the world, so what do? They blow Tashrat after each. No? All they do is they'll blow Tashrat three times after Malchus, Tashrat after... Zichronos, Tashrat after Shofaris. And Tosfos has different minhagim. There's three different minhagim there in the Tosfos if you look at it. Three different minhagim about what we do. This minhag of only blowing Tashrats is the minhag of Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says that if I blow, that I'm supposed to blow Tekiyah, Shvarim, Shura, Tekiyah, right? That's really the din. Rabbi Avoh says I should blow all the sounds. Zot Rabbeinu Tam, you really don't have to. Because he has a shita that kol acher enoi mafsik. Let's say I'm supposed to blow tekiya shabarim of tekiya, but I blow a trua in between. Who cares? So you blow an extra sound, it doesn't matter. You're still yotzi, your tekiya shabarim tekiya, even though I have a trua stuck in the middle. Am I supposed to blow tekiya trua tekiya, and I stick a shabarim in the middle? It doesn't matter. But Rabbeinu Tam has a shita kol acher enoi mafsik. That's Rabbeinu Tam Shita, right? Now, according to the Rabbeinu Tam, I could be Yotze Shofar on Rosh Hashanah by just blowing Tashrats all day, right? I don't have to blow the other sounds. How come I blow the other sounds? Because, the way Rav Shachter always says it, because variety is the spice of life. You don't want the people to get bored in Shul. So, how do I make sure they don't get bored? Right? So I have the Baal Tekeyah, mix it up a little bit, blow different sounds. But really, right, I could just blow Tashrats all day and I'm Yotze. Right, it would kind of be boring, I guess. Maybe. I mean, we actually have a way of like even making the Tashrats exciting. Sometimes we pull up a Neshima Achas, sometimes we pull up a Shtei Neshimos, right? Sometimes the Baal Tekeyah takes a breath in between, sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes we pull straight Shvarim, sometimes we pull broken Shvarims. Right? We can even make Tashrats exciting. But apparently, at the time of the Rishonim, they're worried that you'd get bored. Okay. Nadav, yeah, quickly.
Is this one of those things that once they changed it, like once you go back, you're not Yotze?
So, not right probably one. Not. You're probably Yotze. In other words, the nafkamina is, let's say I go to the hospital in Rosh Hashanah to blow shofar for somebody, right? And, you know, time is late, it's a short day, and they have a lot of patience to blow for, what do I blow? Do I have to blow a full sequence of tashrat, tashat, tarat, or can I just blow tashrats? Let me just take this one. Hello? Okay, so I'll be down in a few minutes. Okay, I should be down in a few minutes. Thank you very much for calling. Okay, so tashrata, fine. So we should. So technically, if you hold like the Rabbi Nutami, you only go tashrat. Now, the Bach has a chiddush. You see, there are different minhagim about what you blow to kiyah shofar during Elul. Our minhag is that we only blow tashrat, okay? That's our minhag. If you go to Breuer's, where they do everything differently than the rest of the world, so they blow a full sequence tashrat, tashrat, tashrat during Elul. The Bach says that that's a machlaikas, a lumdush machlaikas, whether I hold like the Rabbeinu Tam or not. That's the Bach at the bottom. So he says, the efshar de Rabbeinu Tam, the tikkun tashrat, ein lachosh, afam yitku tashrat levad, v'anu min hagenu k'Rabbeinu Tam. That's the last line. So according to the Bach, when I only blow tashrat, that's because, really, I don't like the Rabbeinu Tam. That's the chiddush of the Bach, no? Interesting chiddush. I have a different suggestion, though. I think, you see, and then according to the Bach, by the way, l'cha'ora, the minhag of the yekis is better. Because l'maisa, when I blow shofar for a sick person in the hospital, I don't blow only tashrat. So when I blow for a sick person in the hospital, I blow all of them. Tashrat, tashrat, tarat, right? I blow all the sounds. That means I don't hold like the Rabbeinu Tam. According to the Bach, the minhag of Elul proves that I hold like the Rabbeinu Tam, and therefore you could have a kula when you go to the hospital with sick people on Rosh sick people on Rosh Hashanah. So lemaisa, I want to suggest that maybe our minhag of only blowing tashrat is nitvi the Bach. It's not the pshat. That the Bach is right, and we really hold like the Rabbeinu Tam, but maybe I only blow tashrat to show that it's a different tikkiah, that to show that we're really following the Pirkei of Rabbi Eliezer, and not the minhagim of Rabbi Isaac of Tirna. According to Rabbi Isaac of Tirna, it's an extension, right? We're the same tikkiah of Rosh Hashanah, but I'm trying to say that no, that I'm blowing only tashrat to show that's different. It's a different mitzvah of tikkiyah shofar. That's precisely the point. And I have a few other rayas that it's a different mitzvah than tikkiyah shofar and Rosh Hashanah. Let's just go through the rayas very quickly, and then we'll take a couple of questions. If you look over here, I printed out a tshuva that sits Eliezer. Very interesting tshuva. I remember as a kid, my father, Baruch Hashem, worked very hard in life, and he wasn't able to daven with a minyan in the morning. So I remember as a kid, my father would daven at home very early in the morning, and I'd be upstairs sleeping, of course. And I'd hear him blow shofar after davening, and that would always wake me up. This was my childhood. I mean, my father blowing shofar in the morning. Now, are you supposed to blow shofar if chas v'shalom you miss minyan for a day? It shouldn't happen to any of us. But if it happens that you miss minyan for a day, are you supposed to blow shofar when you daven b'yechidus? Does anyone do this?
Yes.
Yeah, you do? Most people don't do it. The Tzitz Eliezer over here has a tshuva where he says, don't blow shofar if you daven b'yechidus. The mitzvah tikkiyah shofar during Elul, he says, is only with the minyan, not the yechidus. Why? So he says, because the whole source of tikkiyah shofar is because Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to the mountain. And when he goes up to the mountain, the Torah says, he'eviru kol amachane, that they make noise by machane. Machane is in the camp, that means with the minyan. So the Tzitz Eliezer says, against Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank, so my colleague the Tzitz Eliezer and Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank, then the Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank who he's arguing with is not the famous Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank, it's a grandson. Whatever, you could tell from the date of the tshuva. The date of the tshuva is 1974. Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank was lived in the 1950s. The famous Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank. This is a grandson of Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank. Okay, whatever it's worth. But the Tzitz Eliezer says that the mitzvah is only be tzibur, not be yachid.
Now, l'cha'ora, this should depend on our question. If the mitzvah tikiya shofar during Elul is an extension of the mitzvah Rosh Hashanah, on Rosh Hashanah, if I can't be in shul, do I have to blow shofar? Yeah, right? It's a chiyuv on the yachid. But, so then, during Elul also it's a chiyuv on the yachid. But if it's a different mitzvah, so I could say that they were only metaking the mitzvah b'tzibur, not... right? Not the yachid. Perhaps the minhag embroiders of blowing mincha time also is based on this. That they want to show that it's not the regular mitzvah of tikiyah shofar. How do I prove it's not the regular mitzvah of tikiyah shofar? Blow it by mincha also. Or even better, blow it by ma'ariv. You see, by mincha you could say, right, the mitzvah, the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah says that mitzvah tikiyah shofar is all day, during daylight, anytime during the day, mitzvah tikiyah shofar. If I blow at night, I'm not Yotzei Shofar, the real mitzvah shofar. But if it's a different type of mitzvah, so then I would be Yotzei. For example, another question. I remember at one point, my great-grandfather had a shofar, and his shofar over time became puzzle. No, you ever saw some of those old shofars that get a crack in it? Or are you allowed to blow shofar during Elul with a puzzle shofar? For example, you know the kudu shofars? The really big ones that swirl a million times, it could be, maybe that's another shear to give, but kudu shofars are puzzle. What are they called? Messianic Jews always blow these really big shofars. You ever saw like the lunatic people at the Kotel or something who hold the shofar like, right? The yeshiva at the Kotel guys that I'm talking about. Right? Every day they're blowing this horn, that mamish, it could wake up the dead. And that's what they're trying to do, right? They're trying to wake up the dead, because this is like their messianic vision. So they're blowing this massive, massive... It could be a kudu shofar is puzzle, because the shofar has to be a shofar shal'ayel, and the shofar shal'para is puzzle, and it could be that kudu is halachically a para than an ayel, if you're interested. We could discuss that a different time. But let's say it's puzzle. Maybe I can still use it for tikiyah shofar of Elul. Because maybe Chodesh Elul is a different mitzvah of tikiyah shofar. Again, the way that Tzitz Eliezer is passing that the mitzvah is not biyachid, it would indicate it's a different mitzvah. If it's a different mitzvah, so it's a nice opportunity to use your kudu. Yeah?
Just because it's a different mitzvah, why does that change what Allah has made up?
You know what? It doesn't have to change it, but it could. In other words, maybe sometimes we see in halacha that I want a bedafka show that it's not the regular mitzvah. So how do I specifically show it's not the regular mitzvah?
Blow
with a puzzle shofar to show that it's not the regular mitzvah.
If the mitzvah is blow shofar, then you're not blowing shofar. You're blowing something that's like...
But it's not... Remember, it's a minhag that has nothing to do, according to... Right, according to Isaac of... Right? The Chorah, according to the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, has nothing to do with Rosh Hashanah. It's a separate thing not to serve Avodah Zarah. Right? But when I blow a kudu, I could also remember not to serve Avodah Zarah. Again, if we'd be creative, we could come with many other nafkaminas. Yeah, Yehuda.
I don't want to say it's an extension of Rosh Hashanah.
It's an one approach is it's an extension of Rosh Hashanah.
Is the other actually we'll see? I mean, actually, there's longness behind it.
Yeah. I mean, that would be closer to the Rabbi Isaac of Tirna. He's saying there's a mitzvah to blow shofar all month. Well, obviously the real mitzvah to blow on Rosh Hashanah, right? But I have a separate mitzvah to blow all month. Okay. So again, I wanted to get to the other minhag of the David Hashem Ori today, but we didn't have a chance. Again, this is just the way I like analyzing minhagim. I think that there's something rich, and by the way, this also changes my perspective when I listen to shofar in the morning during Elul. Am I supposed to be thinking, what am I thinking of, no? Am I thinking of tshuva in general? Am I thinking specifically not to serve Avodah Zarah? Right? It's a slightly different perspective. Hopefully it will deepen our understanding. By the way, much of what I'm saying comes from, there's a nice journal, a Torah journal called Ur Yisrael, and Reb Gedalia Oberlander wrote an article in Ur Yisrael, volume 33, analyzing the minhag of tikiyah shofar. Some of what I said comes from there.
Okay, Rabbi Osai, I hope you have a good day. Go to the basement. I apologize for not being able to be here for Seder today. Prepare the next sugyas. You have the sheet. And learn Bahasmada. I might be back by the end of Seder. Everything goes according to timing. I could be back by 11:30.